Welcome to the internet broadcast of Big Z Sports.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He is Chris Kale. Chris, dude, we're week 7 of the high school football season already. We're going to preview some big games this week. Four really big games that I see that four big games that will really tell a lot of how the area teams are going to do this week. Our first game we're going to talk about is the Garaway Pirates, who are 6-0, 3-0 in the IVC. They'll welcome in Newcomerstown, who is 3-3, 2-1 in the IVC. Chris, the Pirates dominated Ridgewood last week, 27-7. I don't think the score even indicates how big of a blowout that game was last week. The Pirates were just a better team, Chris.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, Ridgewood was held to 79 yards on 41 carries. The total yards was 359 for Garaway to 106 for Ridgewood. Garaway was just, again, I mean, it was like they scored early and Ridgewood got down and that was it. RJ Jacobs with another four touchdown passes. He was 16 of 23, 340 yards. The four touchdowns, he did throw the two picks again. So starting again in the last couple games, you know, five interceptions in two games. An issue. I don't want to say it's a problem because I think he's still in pretty good shape, but definitely want to rein that in just a little bit. Maybe hand the ball off to Winters a few times, you know. But Derek Briggs with an interception. Ty Hampshire, you know, he had a little screen pass that he took 53 yards, broke a couple tackles, pretty much incredible play. And then Carson Troyer, who was just a stud again at the receiver position. Five catches, 155 yards, and two touchdowns. Great game, and you want to talk about your hats off award as well?
Yeah, I mean, my hats off went to the Pirates defense, the whole defense last week. They really showed up. They shut down that offense, only gave up, like you said, 106 total yards. And, no Trent Harrison for Ridgewood. I think that made a little bit of a difference with the ground game. But I think regardless if they would have had Trent Harrison or not, I think Garaway still rolls this team because they're that much better.
Oh, I agree. I think, Javon Merrill is more than capable of getting the job done at running back. Yes, he's not a Trent Harrison, but he's more than capable of getting it done, and they just didn't get it done. I think a lot of it was up front. I think Garaway dominated them at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And, I think Garaway clearly showed why most of us put them number one in our Power Five last week. And sure, I surely don't expect that to change this week. And I expect Ridgewood to fall a little bit, just like they did in the rankings.
You know, Ridgewood is still a good team. Don't get me wrong. Oh, they just ran into a better team in Garaway. Garaway is built for this year. 22 seniors. They have all that speed on the outside. Ridgewood had a great run, or is having a great run right now. They're a very physical football team. You saw what they did to Sandy Valley. They only gave up 27 points to Garaway, which that's better than any team's done all year against them. But still, 27 points when they can't score, that seems like a big lopsided victory for Garaway, which it was, but Ridgewood's still there. They're still sitting second place in the IVC. They've already beat Sandy Valley. They struggled a little bit with East Canton just because Harrison went down the week before, but I think Ridgewood's going to be there in the end. They have a couple games left. I think this week against Strasburg, Ridgewood travels up to Strasburg to take on the Tigers. I think that's going to be a quick game that both teams run the ball, so it could be a very quick game.
Yep.
Let's see what happens in that game. But anyway, Ridgewood is still going to be there. Garaway's just a better team. And they're taking on a Newcomerstown team now that's 3-3, 2-1 in the IVC. They run the ball very, very well. And early in the year, that was Garaway's, weakness was their run defense. Since they've shored that up a little bit, it'll be interesting to see if Newcomerstown can run the ball against the Pirates.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Chris Lengle, who's had a great year. 33 carries, 186 yards, and two touchdowns last week for the Trojans. Lengle, Brandon Scepter's another one. He had an 18-yard TD run. George Brode playing pretty good at the quarterback position. I mean, he doesn't put up the outstanding, crazy numbers. If he goes somewhere, 6, 7, a 10, that's a good day for Brode out at, at the quarterback position. But, he hit Brennan Wilkin for a touchdown pass, a 15-yarder. Newcomerstown is one of those teams that's kind of confusing to me. there's times that you look at them and you go, man, they're starting to play some really good football, and then they go get hammered by somebody and you kind of scratch your head a little bit. The Strasburg game, I'll be honest with you, I really thought, I mean, I really think most of us thought that Strasburg would win that football game.
Sure.
Especially the way that Newcomerstown started out the season. I mean, they were just getting hammered by everybody, and now all of a sudden they're on a little bit of a streak. I believe they've won three in a row now. And, you know, they're starting to play pretty good football.
It'll be an interesting game on the Hill in Sugar Creek. Friday night, Micah Yoder will be at that game covering it for us. And also Wednesday, don't forget our Extra Point edition of our Big Z Sports Show presented by Michael Taylor, Allstate Insurance. We will be welcoming in the Garaway Pirates. It's their week to talk Garaway football. We'll be joined by head football coach Jason Wallach, Ty Hampshire, RJ Jacobs, Quinn Miller, and Joe Honningford will all join us on the show to talk, you know, their senior years, how the Pirates have been doing it all year long, and you know, we'll also be joined by some other special guests as well. But that's Wednesday night, October the 5th, for the Garaway Pirates on our Big Z Sports Extra Point Show presented by Michael Taylor, Allstate Insurance.
So, and you're again, saying we will have the biggest kicker in the state in studio?
Yes, and he's a big dude. I saw him yesterday at practice. I walked right up next to him. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
So don't run your mouth tonight.
I'll try not to. Okay. I don't want to get, you know, I might wear an Ohio State shirt, though.
Well, just that might get you in trouble because we all know he's committed to the university up north.
Yeah, but, yes. You know, that's why I think we should give him crap for it, too.
Well, when you see him, you won't want to give him crap. He's a big dude. Right. But anyway, that's Garaway 6-0 and 3-0 in the IVC, taking on Newcomerstown, who is 3-3 and 2-1 in the IVC. That's Friday night again. Micah Yoder will cover that game for us here for Big Z Sports. Next game we're going to talk about, New Philadelphia, 5-1. They travel to Zanesville to take on a 1-5 Blue Devils team that obviously has lost a lot of talent from last year. Not the team that they were the last few years, but the Quakers last week shut out Claymont in convincing fashion and dominating fashion, 47-0 at Claymont. Kai Crothers, 4 touchdowns all in the first half, and this Quaker defense is probably the best in the area, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you were kind of thinking that maybe Ridgewood had the best team because they only gave up 14 points in 5 games, and they're still right there.
Sure.
You know, I mean, they're still giving up well under 10 points a game. But the way that Claymont was rushing the football the first 5 games of the season, 300-plus yards on the ground, they were really doing everything they needed to do to come in and knock off a New Philadelphia team. They were at home. Everything that I heard was, as soon as New Philadelphia scored that first touchdown, it was Bitticoffer to Jelani Walker for 24 yards. The game was over right then and there. It was like everybody was fired up. Everybody was ready to go. The place was a madhouse. Philly gets the ball first. They march right down the field and score. And it was like, okay, we're done.
You know, the thing with Claymont, you know, they've had some big wins this year. We all know the Danville win, Indian Valley at the beginning of the year. This would have been another staple win for them this year. I just think they ran into a better team. And nothing against Claymont. They are very young. They're probably a year ahead of schedule. Mm-hmm. They have 27 juniors on this football team. Yep. When they go into the IVC next year, they're going to do some damage.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think
they're going to be very good next year. And I think Claymont has nothing to be ashamed about that win.
I agree.
They just ran into a really good New Philadelphia Quaker team, 5-1. They're probably going to run the table, finish 9-1. But New Philadelphia, you know, their defense is going to stop anybody they come in contact with. There's nobody left on their schedule that's going to give them fits. I'm just talking 42. I'm just talking about a 42-13 beating in Week 10 last year, and they got them on their home field this year. So, you know, but we'll see what happens. But I think Philly runs the table. I really do.
Yeah,
I'm 5-1, and their defense is just that good, but their offense is really starting to catch fire.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they run the table as well. They should, on paper, they should run the table. Hopefully they don't have a trip-up game. You know, obviously the rivalry game in Week 10, you can kind of throw records out the window. You never know what's going to happen. You're going to have a very high-powered offense against a very good defense. Something's going to have to give in Week 10. I still will not be picking Philly just because. But regardless, New Philadelphia.
That's a game I'll catch up with you then.
Well, yeah, exactly. But New Philly, you know, in the first half had 234 yards of offense to Claymont's 31. That tells you right there that, you know, it was, I believe it was 24-0 at the half, and it was just, I mean, it is what it is. Kai Crowlers, like you said, he was our Harrison Auto Parts Player of the Week. He had 150 yards on the ground. I believe it was 18 carries and four touchdown runs. I think he's what, got seven TDs in the last 2 weeks. He's been incredible. Of course, the defense got Eric's Hats Off Award for the shutout to a team that was rushing the ball for 300 yards, had a ton of momentum coming in with the wins against Danville, the win against
Indian Valley,
yes. And, you know, just a ton of momentum coming in, and they absolutely stymied them on their home field. Impressive. Jelani Walker again with a 24-yard touchdown catch. Lucas Kimball with a 24-yard TD catch. Dalton Bolin had a interception on defense. And then, of course, Biddy was 11 of 14 with two TDs. Another solid game. 2 weeks in a row now that we've had a new Philadelphia player with our Harrison Auto Parts Player of the Week, and deservingly so.
Yeah, this game will be over quickly Friday night against Zanesville. Again, nothing against Claymont last week, because they just, like I said, they ran into a better football team. And I even think the Claymont Mustangs would probably tell you that as well. Is New Philadelphia just better? You know, and there's nothing else you can say.
Coach Lasecki said that.
I mean, better. Yep. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. New Philadelphia, good team this year. They're going to go to Zanesville. They're going to put a hurting on the Blue Devils this week. It is a long road trip, hour 15 minutes to Zanesville. But you know what? They'll be on the bus pretty quick.
It's going to be ugly. I mean, if Dover beats Zanesville 37-6 and they don't have the greatest defense right now, you can imagine what New Philadelphia is going to do to them. If Zanesville scores, I'll be floored. Yeah. And I think Claymont, you know, they host Riverview this week. Oh, yeah. I think Claymont bounces back and they get back on the winning track as well.
Absolutely.
In a good, kind of bounce back game for them as well. I expect Claymont, like you said, really do some damage next year. They're a year away.
Yeah.
I really think they could be one of the better teams in our area next year.
They're going into a loaded IVC.
Right.
I mean, there are a couple teams that will be down in the IVC next year. Garraway being one of them. Sandy Valley being one of them. Ridgewood probably, they'll probably be right about where they're at, maybe down a little bit.
I think they're going to be
Indian
down.
Indian Valley's going to be up. You know, Claymont's going to be up. Tuskegee Valley's going to be
there.
Well,
but that's the thing. The new teams moving into the IBC are the ones that are going to be the strong teams.
Sure.
Other than, you know, a Tuskegee Valley.
Yeah, sure. And TCC, I think they're bringing a lot of talent back. So we'll see what happens in the IBC. It'll be interesting for Claymont next year. But there's let's don't lose sight on this year, what they have left to do.
Well,
because I think they can, they can go through this schedule and, you know, finish 6-4. I really do believe that.
Oh, yeah. So. And that's a great season for them. And again, that just shows what Thomas Lasecki and his staff is doing for Claymont.
Sure.
But, you know, let's talk about this year, back to the New Philadelphia game.
Sure.
They've got a chance to finally win their first playoff game. If they continue to play like they're playing and that defense stays playing lights out that it is, they stay healthy, they've got a chance to make a run into November.
Yeah.
They're sitting good.
They're sitting good in Division III. I mean, they really are. The new rankings came out on Tuesday. New Philadelphia is sitting third in Region 9, Division III. They're sitting behind Marlington and Archbishop Hoban, which we all knew that they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
But if the playoffs started today for Philly, they would take on the six-seeded Medina Buckeye. So that'll be interesting to see how Philly responds this week. They'll go down to Zanesville. They won't get many points for it, but they'll go down. Score a lot of points this week, but they won't get a lot of points for the victory.
You just want to stay out of the road of Danny Clark and Sibley and those guys.
You do.
Just stay. If you stay on the top half of that end, and you don't have to meet them till later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's the goal.
Sure.
Meet them later and then let the cards fall where they may.
That's New Philadelphia. They're 5-1 at Zanesville, who is 1-5. Adam Sawesky will cover that game for us this week down at Zanesville. Next game we'll talk about is Chris's Dover Tornadoes. They are 3-3 on the year. They travel down to a very, very good Cambridge football team. They're 5-1. Tornadoes took care of business last week against Zanesville, like Chris mentioned earlier, 37-6. Dre Hess had a huge game for the Tornadoes. This is a tough road trip versus a good team, Chris. I think Dover, they don't want to take Cambridge lightly. They're number 3 in Division 4, Region 15, sitting in front of Steubenville.
Oh, yeah. You know, Cambridge is one of those teams where if you sit back and you look at it, the last few years, Cambridge hasn't been very good. They haven't been very good for about 3, 4, 5 years now. Now, all of a sudden, they're one of those teams that you're like, wow, where did they come from in the ECOL? you know, they, you know, you had the stronger teams in the ECUL was always Dover, New Philadelphia, Zanesville. Now all of a sudden Zanesville's down. Dover's kind of, you know, young and in limbo. New Philadelphia is the powerhouse. Cambridge now all of a sudden they're right there in that, you know, maybe 1A, 2 team that, you know, in the ECUL. So very interesting, you know. Another one was Meadowbrook last year. Meadowbrook, really strong year, made the playoffs. They're kind of teetering around. You know, they lost some kids, but, you know, Cambridge definitely bounced back. And, you know, when you're sitting 5-1 and you're 1-0 in the ECOL and you're sitting third in Division 4, Region 15, you got to be a pretty good football team. So, you know what? This is a big test for Dover. Dover's got to win out. Dover's going to make the playoffs if they're going to have a shot to make the playoffs. And I think they do. If they win out, they make the playoffs at 7-3. You'll have to beat a Philly team. You'll have to beat a Cambridge team that are both ranked. You will have two of your three losses against ranked teams in Steubenville. Actually, all three losses. Steubenville, Lake, and Nordonia in ranked playoff teams. So you lose to three playoff teams, you beat two playoff teams, you go 7-3. That would put you winning your conference because you would beat Cambridge and you would beat New Philadelphia. So you're the ECOL champion. They go in. You don't put a Philly team in that sits, you know, 8-2 into the playoffs, losing your conference and not put Dover in after the schedule that they had. Sure. So I think that they get in if they win out. Do they win out? That's the question, you know, and we're going to find out a lot more Friday night because Cambridge is going to be the real deal. But like you said, Dre Hess, I really want to give him my hats off award last week. Dover could have, their defense could have got my hats off award as well. Dover's defense, you know, we've kind of been on them all year long. And they stepped up last week. And, yeah, Zanesville maybe not the caliber of team that they're used to being. But you know what? They held that team to 6 points. You hold anybody to 6 points, you're having a pretty good – you know, that's a pretty good game.
Sure.
And, you know, Dre Hess, another good game, like we said, you know, two touchdown runs and a 44-yard screen pass for a touchdown. Alex Sayre, three TD passes. DeAndre Clark with a 47-yard TD catch. And McGuire Morris with a 67-yard TD catch. You know, just they're playing pretty well. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with the Tornadoes, you know, kind of moving forward. But, you know, I expect them to play well against Cambridge. You got to travel down there. It's going to be a tough game.
It'd be a tough road trip. And I think Dover will be ready. I think Dan Ift will have them ready. But they're going to have to play one of their best games of the year.
Oh, yeah.
To win this game.
If you play like you did against a Steubenville, and maybe you get a couple of them stops that you needed, and you not commit a couple of those turnovers, and I think that their offense is more than capable of beating Cambridge. There's no doubt in my mind that Dover's offense is more potent than what Cambridge's is. The difference is, can they continue to make the adjustments to shore up the defense to stop them from putting points on the board? We're going to answer a lot of questions about the Dover Tornadoes in Week 7.
Yes, we will. And, again, that's Dover 3-3. They travel to Cambridge. And Tim Plants will be back with us this week to cover this game for us. His wife, Tiffany, doing well after surgery. Talked to him last night, and he appreciates everybody's well wishes for her. She is up, moving around, doing well. So Tim will be back with us this week as, again, Dover travels to Cambridge to take on the 5-1 Bobcats this week. Dover looking to win out. They need to finish their season strong to have a chance to get in the playoffs. But again, Tim Plants will cover that game for us on Friday night. And the last game we'll talk about tonight, or today, I should say, Sandy Valley 4-2 taking on TCC. The Cardinals coming off a must-win game against East Canton last week. Nelson Mosen, another big game for the Cardinals, and their defense again stepped up against against East Canton. They shut them down to a clip of 41-7, but the Cardinals needed that win regardless, no matter if it was 52-50, if it was 6-0, they needed that win to get their momentum back after the tough stretch they had against Garaway and Ridgewood. TCC coming off a stunning loss to Malvern last week. The Saints enter the toughest three-game stretch of the season probably for any team in the area. They begin it this week with Sandy Valley, then they have Ridgewood, and then they have Garaway. So three tough games for TCC. But you know what? It's going to show us what TCC is made of. And knowing Coach Casey Cummings, he will have this TCC team ready to defend their turf tonight or Friday night against Sandy Valley.
Yeah, it just absolutely brutal schedule. And, you know, had one of those trip-up games a week ago to TCC. You know, they gave up 16 fourth-quarter points. They had to lead, and 16 fourth-quarter points and 28 second-half points. They were outscored 28-0 in the second half. So you lose 36-24, there's your answer. I mean, you know, Malvern just did a nice job. I mean, you know, Drew Hutchinson had a 100-yard interception return for a touchdown late in the game that sealed the win. It's their 12th win in the last 13 meetings with the Saints. Austin Patterson had 107 yards and a touchdown on 16 carries. Gavin Potts had 51 yards and three touchdowns on 19 carries for Malvern, who, you know, now sits up in a good situation in the IVC. Drew Hutchinson, 16 of 27, 168 yards, did have the two picks. You know, Dean Green accounted for all 24 points for the Saints. He had 102 yards on the ground, 82 of them on one touchdown run in the second quarter. He had 11 carries total, was 10 of 26 for 166 yards and two touchdowns, but had the three picks. And that is tough. You turn the ball over, especially when you're down in your end of the field. You know, you throw a 100-yard interception return to the other team's quarterback. That stinks. And, you know, that was a trip-up game for TCC. And, you know, now that is not what they needed, getting ready to run the gauntlet. And you run into Sandy Valley team that all of a sudden is angry after losing a couple of weeks ago, actually losing, what, two in a row. And a Sandy Valley team that's angry, they're coming out on fire. They destroyed East Canton last week, 41-7. You know, the only really issue was they had a TD run and Mosden threw a pick in the end zone. Other than that, they dominated the game. Mosden with three TD passes, Dre Bracken with a 75-yard TD run, you know, Xavier Sarver with a TD catch, Darren Finn with two TD catches, Evan Keck, two forced fumbles and an interception. Sandy Valley got my hats off award for their defensive performance. The whole defensive team, we made it an unprecedented sweep of defensive teams getting our hats off award. I think that's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool, and I think this game very easily could be a shootout. I don't think it's going to be a battle of the defenses this week, but I think TCC has the offense to compete with anyone, and so does Sandy Valley. I think this will be a fun game. We'll actually have Riley Benson will be in the studio with us this week, as Chris, you'll be out for the week. You'll be doing your normal full-time job being a firefighter, and Riley's going to join Eric and I in the studio all night on Friday night, and we'll still have Sandy Valley covered, though, and we'll have that game covered in its entirety, just like we do every week, and videos, all type of stuff on our Big Z Sports Facebook page. So Sandy Valley, again, 4-2, taking on TCC, who is 4-2. That game is Friday night over at TCC.
Yeah, and both of these teams, you know, not needing a loss right now. Okay, Sandy Valley sitting number 8 in Division 5, Region 17. They're 4-2 overall, 1-2 in the conference. They cannot afford a loss. In TCC, they're also sitting 4-2 and 2-1 in the conference. You know, they're sitting number 7 in D7, Region 25. You can't lose a game either, especially with the gauntlet that they're getting ready to face in Ridgewood and Garraway. TCC has to win this game, and so does Sandy Valley. I think the loser of this game, the playoff hopes are going to be slim.
This could be our game of the week this week with the most on the line. You know, Sandy Valley is a must win. TCC is a must win. Yeah. So I think this will be a hard-fought game, and I can't wait to see the outcome of this game Friday night.
So we're in agreement that this is a must win for both teams. Oh. The loser of this game is probably not going to get in.
I wouldn't say that, because TCC is the rest of their schedule. They have higher division teams, so if they can pull off an upset against the Garraway or Ridgewood,
maybe more
they'll
of
get some more points. Maybe more of a win for a Sandy Valley.
Okay, so more maybe of more win. Of a must-win for them.
But still, TCC can't afford to drop a couple of these games here and think that they're still going to get in. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a hard-fought game. I think it's going to be a physical game, and I think it's going to be a shootout. Let's see what happens on Friday night again. Sandy Valley 4-2, TCC 4-2, and we'll have that game covered forward for you on Friday night. Obviously, Chris, like I mentioned a little bit ago, you will not be with us this Friday night. You'll be up performing your duties as a firefighter, and we appreciate that. And Riley Benson will be in your seat this week, and just this week, so don't feel threatened or anything. We're just getting somebody in here to fill your role. It's going to be tough because you do a lot for us on Friday nights, but you know, Riley will be in making his studio debut with us for the full show of 5:30 to 11. It'll be fun to have Riley in, and you know, I know you'll be listening up in Youngstown.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be listening. Maybe I'll give you guys a call and maybe do a little segment in halftime or something. You know, I'm going to be listening in and anxiously, you know, seeing what Riley has to bring to the table. I think he'll do a good job. Interested to hear his perspective all night long. I'll definitely miss you guys. It stinks to not be here on a Friday night. It happened last year whenever I had to go to St. Louis for my daughter's softball game. That was a little bit different because I didn't have to sit and listen to the show. I called in, did a quick segment with you guys, and I was back doing stuff. This is going to stink, having to sit at my desk at work and sit in my room and probably watch the Indians and listen to the show knowing that I can't be here. But, you know, when work calls sometimes. Absolutely. And there's not much I can do. And no, I appreciate everything. You know, we'll be back next week and looking forward to tomorrow night's show and looking forward to hearing from Riley, you know, and looking forward to listening to you guys. And hopefully, you know, I'll learn something listening to you guys on the show. And, you know, that's always something that we always try to do is get better. And you only get better when you listen back and listen to other people that are doing a good job at things. So, absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yep, Chris, run down the rest of that week seven schedule for us.
The rest of the games here in week number seven. And crazy that it's week number seven. Fairless at Tuskegee Valley, Malvern at East Canton, Riverview at Claymont, Indian Valley at CVCA, Ridgewood at Strasburg, Carrollton at Alliance, Mansfield at West Holmes, Harrison Central at Edison, Coshocton at Meadowbrook, Canton Valley at Cameron, West Virginia.
Yep, that is the week seven schedule plus the other four games that we talked about already. Garraway and New Comerstown, New Philly and Zanesville, Dover and Cambridge, and Sandy Valley TCC. That is week seven high school football schedule for you. Chris, quick reminder for our listeners, follow Big Z Sports on Twitter at @Big_Z Sports and on Facebook, WTUZ Big Z Sports. We'll get into a little baseball talk now. The Cleveland Indians begin their playoff run on Thursday night as they will be taking on the Boston Red Sox up at Progressive Field. Trevor Bauer takes on Rick Porcello in Game 1 of the American League Division Series. That game, first pitch, is around 8:05. Good for the Indians. You know, tough first-round matchup, but you know what? All the teams you play now from here on out are going to be good, and good luck to the Indians. We can't wait to talk about them on Friday night. Game 2 will be Friday night as well, so we'll have that on in here in the studio. But Game 1, Thursday night, Porcello, Bauer, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are you got to win your home games. You worked all season long to get the home field advantage. You've got to win your home games. You know, Boston's a good team. They're one of those teams that want to send Big Poppy out with, you know, with a bang. And you know what? I think Boston's very capable of doing it. Cleveland's got to handle their business. I think, you know, the key is going to be, can the bats stay hot? Can pitching keep you in games? Can the bullpen continue to deliver? I hope so. Man, I'd love nothing more to see than two Cleveland teams win titles this year. Really love the Indians. Other than the Pirates, you know, I really, really follow the Indians. I really love the Indians. My wife's a huge Indians fan, and she'll be wearing her Indian garb all week. And, you know, I hope they get the big W and move on. I don't know if you caught the game last night. I watched the Toronto game last night.
I actually get to stay up and watch games now.
What an incredible game. I really thought Baltimore was probably going to win that game. I was kind of pulling for Baltimore.
I wasn't, because I wanted to see a Rangers-Blue Jays rematch, because you know it's going to be a bloodbath.
You want to get Batista punched in the face again?
I want to see another bat flip. I want to see all the excitement that comes along with that rivalry that started over the last couple years. I think the way that the Toronto game ended gives them a lot of momentum going into this Rangers series now. Edwin Encarnacion, if you didn't see it, with a 3-run walk-off home run, no doubter. He hit it, put his arms up. I mean, it was one of them things that gets you off the couch, you know. and it was 11:30 at night. I don't remember what time it was. I jumped off the couch. I'm like, you know, Edwin was a Red, so you know, I kind of root for him a little bit. But big home run for him, and you know, it was a great way to end the game. I just don't understand Buck Showalter not bringing in Zach Britton, your stud in the bull out of that inning. I don't understand why he didn't do that. He's going to second guess himself.
Yep.
For the rest of his career, like, why didn't I do that?
But you know what? Buck Showalter's been great for the Baltimore Orioles for the last, 2.5 years he's been there. Came in midseason and really done a good job. Actually, he might have been in the beginning of last year that he came in. They went on a horrible deal and almost made the playoffs with him there. You know, I think Buck's done a nice job for the Orioles. And, you know, how many times could they get – I mean, how many double plays did they have to turn yesterday? The offense just could not get on track. They had guys strike out in big situations. You know, Davis and who's the other – the big home run hitter for Baltimore?
Mike Trumbo. Trumbo. Yeah.
Yeah, Trumbo and Davis just couldn't get on track.
Machado didn't do much.
Machado,
yeah.
Manny Machado didn't do
nothing. I mean, the Orioles have a good lineup. They do. Their pitching is what's been a little suspect all year except for Britton out of the bullpen. And, you know, Tillman, you know, pitched well in the beginning parts of the game. Just like you said, the offense for the Orioles couldn't get going. But, again, great job for Toronto and good luck against the Rangers.
So for the Indians – who do you like better, Toronto or the Rangers, to win that series? Who are you wanting if you're the Indians?
If I'm the Indians, I would probably want Toronto because I don't think their pitching is as good.
Right. I agree with you 100%.
Yep. So that'll be a fun game. Game two is Friday night for the Indians and Red Sox. It'll be David Price taking on Corey Kluber. Great pitching matchup. That game could be 2-1, 1-0. You never know with the Indians and Red Sox when they get together, when you get two stud pitchers like that.
NL wild card tonight.
Yep. You know, I'm probably going to root for the Giants a little bit. I'm not a big Mets fan. I never have been. I like to see the Giants win. Johnny Cueto, of course, my boy from the Reds on that team. I'd love to see them get through. And, you know, they'll have to take on the Cubs. But you know what?
I wasn't a big Giants fan. I mean, I started following the Giants a little bit because I was a huge Barry Bonds fan when he first went there. I was a big Barry Bonds fan until you find out that he's obviously doing wrong. But I still followed him. I still always liked Barry Bonds. I really like Tim Lincecum. I think he was a good, you know, he's a good kid. You know, San Francisco is what it is. Will Clark was another good one back in the day. You know, I think that was the first series that I really remember watching was the Bay series when they had the earthquake. And, you know, I remember tuning into that game and just stunned at what happened. And
the big three for the Giants had Will Clark, Matt Williams, and Kevin Mitchell, if you remember that.
Yeah, I remember Kevin Mitchell, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, I would love to see the Giants win just because of Cueto.
The Mets are another team I remember watching back in 86. You know what I mean? Daryl Strawberry and Doc Gooden.
Yeah.
You know, that whole deal, whatever. But they were a monster back in the day. Sure. You know what I mean?
Keith Hernandez.
It was
Hojo. Ray Knight. I mean, they had a great team. Yeah. I mean, the Mets have always
Gary Carter.
Been good. Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm going Giants-Cubs. I'd like to see it. I'm rooting for the Cubs and the Indians.
Yeah, I agree.
To get to the World Series,
I 100% agree. I hope it's the Cubs and Indians in the World Series because somebody's curse is going to be broken.
Yep, absolutely. Again, that's the Indians. Their playoff games start on Thursday the 6th, and they will be taking on the Red Sox. Again, Trevor Bauer taking on Rick Porcello game one on Thursday night.
Okay, NFL real quick. First of all, how bad did the Cleveland Browns get screwed?
Pretty bad.
That is the most ignorant thing I have ever seen in my life.
It just
you
goes
come
to show
out of the
NFL,
pile and stand there with the ball in your hand.
Yeah.
And the official signals to the other team has the ball.
Yeah.
When they're still scrumming on the ground for nothing.
Yeah.
They were fighting over blades of grass.
Sure.
And then they didn't review it.
Yeah.
The sideline official said, oh, well, we already took a look at it, and the evidence is inconclusive. You better look again.
Sure.
Because that was a huge turning point in that game. The Cleveland Browns, again, find a way to lose when they probably shouldn't have, and this time it was because of the officials. That is absolutely unacceptable and terrible. terrible on the NFL.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the NFL has a lot of issues they need to work through. Officiating is one of them. The play and attitudes of players, I think, is another one. But that's for another podcast. We'll get into that here in a couple weeks. But
how about my Steelers?
Your Steelers look good. They improved. It was an impressive performance. Ben, you know, he keeps making believers out of everyone. You know, and
dude,
he
had
keeps
more
doing
touchdowns
it.
Than he sure. did incompletions. Absolutely. At one point, he was 21 of 25, over 300 yards, or right at 300 yards, again, and 5 touchdowns.
Yep. I mean, it was a big win for him, a big win for the Bengals as well on Thursday.
Le'Veon Bell looked good.
And that helps their offense. So,
and the Bengals, like you said, they looked good too. A good Miami team on Thursday night, and they pretty much waxed them. You know, people can say what they want. I don't think Baltimore is that good. I think you're going to see Baltimore trickle down the ladder once they get into AFC play, AFC Central play specifically. And you're going to have Cincinnati and Pittsburgh battling out for the division, and that game in Cincinnati towards the end of the year is going to be huge.
Yeah, it'll be a fun game. But real quick, let's talk Buckeyes this week. Obviously, they shut out the Scarlet Knights of Rutgers 58-0 on Saturday. JT Barrett continues to be the leader of the Buckeyes. Mike Weber with a career-high 144 yards rushing. The defense proved, Chris, why they're not one of the best, but maybe the best best defense in the country, and they welcome in a Hoosiers team this Saturday that is a very much improved Hoosiers team from Indiana. They knocked off Michigan State last week, and Indiana's been kind of a thorn in Urban's side the last 4 years, so we'll see what happens with the Buckeyes this week, but impressive win against Rutgers.
I agree with you 100%. Impressive win against Rutgers, but we all knew it was going to happen. I think the more impressive win is the Indiana win over Michigan State.
Yeah.
Ohio State needs to make sure they handle their business this week. Me and Jared will be down there. Can't wait to stand on the sidelines for the first time at the Horseshoe.
You've never done it.
No, I've never been.
I was hoping to be able to do that with you for the first time.
I've never.
I got to go with Eric the first time. I got to go with Jared the first time, and then I don't get to go. You'll have a good time. Weather's going to be beautiful.
Oh yeah, looks
sure
like it's
going
to rain.
There. Make sure you get down there early. It's going to be beautiful. You'll be beautiful, dry in a climate controlled press box.
I probably shouldn't wear my white Buckeye shirt then, huh?
Probably not. You probably should wear a TUZ shirt as you head down to the Shoe to take on the Buckeyes and Indiana. It will be a good game. You and Jared, like you mentioned, are headed down to cover the game for Big Z Sports. So have fun and enjoy your first game in Columbus. Also on Friday night, don't forget, we will have Buckeye Breakdown with Jeremy Birmingham from landof10.com, presented by Morris Communication, Friday night around 6:35. And we always have Jeremy in to talk about the Buckeyes. Guys, during our Friday night show, again, Jeremy Birmingham from landof10.com, presented by Moore's Communication. That will be on Friday night around 6:30. And again, tune in for the Big Z Sports Show on Friday night with myself, Eric McElroy, and Riley Benson at 5:30 as we break down the biggest games of the week. Chris, you're out this week again. Riley is filling in for you in the studio. Thanks for all you do, and have a good week off, and come back rejuvenated for the home stretch in the playoffs after this week.
I'm just hoping that Eric doesn't mess up my sheets for next week, because I'll need them, because I'm back and I'm trusting in him
to do the
sheets
while
like
you're
they're
listening
supposed to.
Can't you just sit there and write everything down? I mean, come on, not like you're gonna go out and do anything.
Okay then. No, I'm gonna put it in Eric's hands. He said he wants to help. I'm going to let him help.
All right. Well, Eric, it's on you now. So with that, this week's edition of the Big Z Sports Podcast will come to a close. For Chris Kale, I'm Joe Geckler saying thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Big Z Sports Podcast, and we'll talk to you Friday night beginning at 5:30.
This has been the Internet Broadcast from Big Z Sports.